You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about helping others. Can you help everybody? You know, but can you help people who actually don't want your help or don't ask for your help? We're going to go deep tonight on Perspectives. I'm going to be explaining why we can't help most people, because we can't. But better yet, I'm going to explain why it'll actually hurt you when you try to help them. You know, I think we have to define help. I think tonight we have to begin with figuring out what does help mean. And in this situation, we're talking about help as a verb, right? Not as a noun, but as a verb. And as a verb, help means to make it easier for someone to do something by offering one services and resources. You know what I'm saying? With lending a hand, offering assistance, coming to the aid of someone, doing someone a favor, doing someone a service, doing someone a good turn, bailing someone out, coming to someone's rescue, giving someone a leg up. And we hear that a lot. We hear that people want to help other people. People talk about helping other people. It's a big deal. But I'm going to talk later on tonight about how and why we want to help people, who we can help, and how some people you try to help, it's just going to turn around and bite you on the butt. So let's talk about why we choose to help people, because I think this is a pinnacle to understanding this conversation. Why do we actually help other people? Why do we want to help other people, better yet? The first thing is because we want to. I think it's part of our general makeup is to help other people in their life, to be there for people, to help people. Because you know what? We want help, right? I think it's like kind of a vice versa thing, because we want help and we want someone to help us out. It seems kind of, you know, there's a connection there. I think a lot of times, too, a lot of you out there, a lot of you empathetic people, which I love, a lot of you feelers, the people that feel and have deep feelings and emotions, you feel it's your duty. You feel as if you have a duty to make this happen. God has been known unto you, has given you this. The knights of the round table have knighted you with this journey. Seriously, we feel it's our duty. It's what we were put on this planet to do. And I think sometimes that's true, and I think sometimes it's not true. And I'm going to talk about that later on in the hour. Because I think there's some people out there that you can genuinely help. But I think that we have to figure out why we want to help them. What's our reasoning? But better yet, we have to sit there and kind of differentiate ourselves from genuine love for other people and the genuine desire to help. But on the flip side, we have to divide that from our ego. Because our ego will tell us that, oh, yes, you're supposed to be doing this. Oh, yes, yes, Ashley, yes. Yes, by the way, you're supposed to be helping those people. Seriously. But there comes a time when we have to sit there and realize, are we projecting on them? Are we projecting what we want for them? Or do they genuinely need our help? And I'm going to tell you why later on how this works. And when we go against, you know, just the love of people and actually enter the ego realm, this can actually turn and bite us on the butt. A lot of times we help people because we feel if we don't do it, if we don't help them, that they're going to get hurt. Or for most of you women out there, if you don't help that boy, that he's going to die. He's going to kill himself right now. I mean, how many of you listening to this show right now when you were a kid, and I'm talking the ages of 16 to 30, did you have a guy or a girl call you and go, if you don't love me, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself dead right now. I'm in a car right now, and I'm just going to go right over this bridge. I've had that conversation before, holding on the line, telling someone, please don't kill yourself. It's not the right time. And don't kill yourself for me. Really? Like, was my ego that inflated that I should actually believe that this was taking place? And no, they did not commit suicide. No. And I'm not saying across the board this doesn't happen, but no, this person didn't commit suicide. And now that I look back on it, it's kind of funny because, you know, when we're young, we just think that the world revolves around us. And I remember being on the phone and it's like, I was like, oh no. And then he was like, I'm in the car and I'm going to jump over this bridge with my car and I'm going to sink to my death. And now that I kind of look back at it, I'm thinking he was probably sitting in his car with the engine running in his driveway. And there I am thinking, envisioning all these things of him going off some sort of cliff. And by the way, where I was living at that time, there was no cliffs. I mean, there might have been like a 10-foot jump, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. And so I look back at that with maybe not such great nostalgia, but just the idea that, man, as I have a bonehead kid sometimes, you know, a lot of times we, our ego says, oh, that person's going to kill themselves for us. Person's going to die without us. Without our help, that person's going to die. They're going to go to the gallows there. They're going to die. It was all because of us. Oh, God, what do we do? You know, the next thing is that we feel appointed to do it, like I was saying. Like this was a appointment granted to us by the King and Queen of England. You are appointed to do this now, Sir Knight. Seriously, like we feel appointed. And sometimes there could be some sort of appointment there might be. But you have to really realize, is this altruistic or is it not? Because what I've found in my recent years is I help people. But I think you can genuinely help people in small, petite ways. And I think that you can come to people's aids in certain ways as well, but it doesn't have to be this big production. And I have a tendency to think that back in the day when I would come to someone's aid or really help them in a huge way, a lot of it was done because of my massive ego. Well, I'm going to come to save the day. I'm going to be the one that everybody talks about. Oh, Ashley's the saint. Ashley's here. Oh, that's Ashley. Oh, God, Ashley saved my life. You know what? When you help people like that and they don't ask for your help, they never think that you saved their life. And then they're looking for you to save their life the next month and the next month and the next month and the next month. And eventually it's tiring. This isn't Groundhog Day. I'm not going to run every single day to catch that kid that's jumping out of the tree. Okay, I'm not going to pull my back out every day and set my clock timer so that at 3:05 every afternoon I'm walking down the exact street and I catch so-and-so coming out of the tree. No, it's not going to happen. And sometimes you can help people and it's a good thing, but at the same point in time, sometimes we're aiding and abetting in a situation that's not good for us. And a situation that doesn't have what we need, in a situation where we have actually pushed our own journey, pushed our own thought process and our own will on someone else's will. You know, another thing and another reason why we help other people is that we tell ourselves that it's the reason why we live. I mean, this is a deep one. The reason why I live is to help these people. And I agree that we're supposed to help fellow man and we're supposed to help ourselves. But I think there comes a time that we have to take a real look and figure out exactly, honestly, how we can help other people. And I think, honestly, it's not about saving them, you know, saving them from the drowning. I think it's more like treating people good and treating people well with respect on a daily basis. What about that we are the Savior? We have appointed ourselves Jesus Christ. And because we've appointed ourselves Jesus Christ, we are now the Savior of all those less fortunate than us. Really? So who made you Jesus Christ? That's what I want to know. Who made you Jesus Christ? And that's fine if you want to take on that. I mean, I think you need to change your name just a little bit, you know, just out of respect. However, if you're taking that on, that's great, but you have to sit back and think about it. Am I doing this for altruistic reasons? Am I doing this with not wanting anything in return? Am I helping these people, persons, women, men? Am I helping these people because I love them unconditionally and I want the best for them? Or am I helping them because I want them to do something or to follow a certain line of thought because I know this is better for them? And for all you parents out there, you know exactly what I'm talking. A lot of times we sit there and we think, well, I know what's better for my kid. But we really aren't good and aren't supposed to be projecting our own will upon them. Sometimes people have to learn the hard way. I've done it. I'm still here. And it's good sometimes. And I think that lately in the last generation or so, some of the kids that have been brought up have never had to scrape or scratch or work for anything. I recently have been talking to some women that I know, some friends of mine. We won't name any names or point any fingers. But they were talking about how they had recently gotten divorced. These were several different women. And they started dating younger guys. And when we mean younger guys, I mean younger guys. Like early 20s. Mid-20s. And they said none of them know how to do the laundry. And all of them act like they are their mother. And I'm thinking about this and I'm like, you know what? That's because a lot of mothers out there have been babying their children for so long. Holding their hand. What is this? What is this? What is this codependent? And I understand it's your child, but at the same time, is that child going to be able to jump out of that and be their own person? And I have a friend of mine right now that, you know, the wife's moved up north and the husband's here. And they have an only child, and the son is about 20, and he's failed out of college 2 or 3 times. And he smokes pot 5 times a day. And he trashes out their house, and he trashes out their cars. And why? It goes back to, and I hate to say it, goes back to mom. Mom never wanted to put her foot down. Mom never wanted the child to have to learn the hard way. And now mom's moved up north. Doesn't live with them anymore. They're all still together, but doesn't live with them anymore. And now dad is having to deal with it. And dad's had enough. And there's a lot of kids out there, and there's a lot of reason for that, because we were helping and meddling where we didn't need to meddle. When I was a kid, my parents let me learn the hard way. And whether that was good or bad, all I know is that I learned a lot. And we have to do this with our friends and family as well, not just our children. You can only help somebody so much before you're actually getting in the way of their progress and getting in the way of their own responsibilities. Stay tuned when we return. We'll be talking more about helping others, about how you can't help someone who doesn't want your help. And we're going to go deeper and talk about how it actually can hurt you when you step up and get in the way. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in 2 shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about helping other people. How you can't help someone that doesn't ask for your help. This is something that I figured out years ago, is that I've helped people in the past and never, ever once asked for my help. And guess what? Nothing good came out of it. Nothing good came out of it. And right before the break, I was talking about that kiddo, 20-something years old, flunked out of school 3 times, smokes pot 5 times a day, probably. Trashes out mom and dad's house, trashes out mom's car. Mom is codependent with son, right? Allows son to do whatever, and dad has to deal with the pain of it. And, you know, you have to kind of look back sometimes and go, you know what? If you stop being a helicopter mom and you stop being there so codependent, that kid would eventually have to hit rock bottom at some point and have to, you know, basically bounce back up. I mean, at least back up to the concrete. And it's interesting in life, because I found that when we stop holding people's hands and we stop saying, oh, watch out, watch out, watch out, there's a car in the street. Oh, don't cross the road yet. We let them cross their road for themselves. They don't do bonehead things like walk out and, you know, in front of a freaking Mack truck. And it's like, I think a lot of times we have a tendency of trying to push our will. And I was talking earlier about why we choose to help people. And it's because we want to. Because we have a love of helping people. We might feel it's our duty. We might feel that person, if we don't help them, are going to hurt, get hurt, or die, or kill themselves, or take their own life. Like I was talking about when you've had that one time in life where somebody you dated said that they were going to kill themselves. And you were on the phone with them, and they're probably 18, 19, 20. You're like, oh, don't kill yourself for me. We'll work it out. We'll work out the relationship. I mean, yes, occasionally it does happen, and that's awful. But for the most part, it's our own ego thinking that they're going to kill themselves. They're just trying to get back in your life. They just want you to say, yeah, let's get back together. Come on over right now. Let's have a booty call. That's what it's all about. And it's like a lot of times we over consider ourselves as far as that we are the circle of their planet, of their earth. We are their earth, we are their moon, and we are their stars. And a lot of times we have to kind of take a step back and go, okay, really, what's real and what's not? What's our ego and what's not? And where are we going with this? You know, we might feel appointed to do something. We might actually think it's our basis for our reason for living. Better yet, we are their savior. What about they need us? They need me. Without me, they'd be nowhere. Nowhere, really. And a lot of times we think that people need us. They gotta have us. I mean, without us, they'd fall to pieces. Their life would be nothing. They would be just like, you know, schlepping down the street, you know, screaming our name, you know, Ashley, Ashley, come back to me, Ashley, please, you are my shining star. Or we are definitely codependent, and codependent can go with all these, right? We get codependent, we feel like addicted to it. And there's a lot of marriages out there right now that are very codependent. There's a lot of relationships out there codependent. There's a lot of mother, son, son, daughter, daughter, father, father, daughter. All these relationships that are codependent, and we get stuck in that whirlwind and circle where it's not a healthy circle. It's almost like a good example to me about a codependent relationship is that buddy that you had when you were young, and you might still have this buddy for some of y'all, that every time you hang out, y'all get drunk together. Every time you hang out, you get rip-roaring drunk together. Right? Think about it. Every time you hang out, you get in trouble. And it's this codependent, you know, thing that's going on. It's like this energy. It's like, you know, for example, that kid and his parents, until his mom puts her foot down for a while, our son's not going to get it. A son that cares and has been brought up by a mom to not walk all over her doesn't trash her vehicle and smoke pot in it. Okay? And that's the key, is that a lot of times when we help people, what do? They screw us over. I can't believe I helped that person and all they did to me was screw me over. What kind of BS is that? I'm never helping anybody ever again. Well, you helped the wrong person. Wake up. Not everybody wants your help. Not everybody needs your help. And sometimes you need to walk away. That's your ego talking right there. Oh, they need me. If they haven't asked you and if they haven't gotten down on their knees and begged you for help, and you do not need to help them. Most people don't even think they need the help. And so all of a sudden you swoop in and you change things. And you start changing stuff up. And next thing you know, they can't even identify their life anymore. They don't even understand what's going on anymore. They're over there freaked out. Well, what happened to my life? I don't even know what's going on anymore. Who am I? Where did I come from? Who is this? This isn't my house. Seriously. And you know what they do? They hate you for it. They hate you for it. And I'm going to give a good example about marriages. There's a lot of marriages out there where the man met the woman and she was the damsel in distress. She was the little wounded bird that needed your help, supposedly. She never really asked you for your help, but you decided you're going to help her anyway. And you take her in and you buy her nice clothes, you spend some money, and you take her to dinner, and you do all this stuff, and you bring her home, and the days go by, and the weeks go by, and the months go by, and then the year hits, and all of a sudden, well, you've helped her so far, you might as well marry her. If I marry her, I'll give her the life that she never had. I'll give her the life that she's always dreamed of if I marry her, because I'll take good care of her, and I'll be there for her. All those other men were evil and bad, because she told me so. They all abused her. Well, I hate to say it, that for most of these relationships like that, you end up being the abuser too, because you helped. The guys before her never abused her, they never beat her. You know what I'm saying? It was all this mental abuse that she feels was there, but it was based on the fact that the guy was trying to save her. She lost her identity and she didn't like that. I mean, I've been at people's houses before where they've given something to their spouse that was amazing, and that spouse goes, you know what? I don't even like that. Or how dare you do that? How dare you buy me that Mercedes in white? You know I wanted black, you jerk. Think about it. And I know there's some of y'all out there right now that are still in these marriages. And guess what? I know that nothing is absolutely working at all. And the sex has stopped too. The sex was really good at one point in time. And then that dwindled away too. And it's like we look at things and sometimes we help people that don't need our help. They look like they do, but do they really? Or is that just kind of a Jedi mind trick with them? You know, people let down their guard when they think that they're helping someone. People have a tendency of letting down that guard and going, it's just a sweet little girl. It's a little wounded bird that just needs my help. Poor thing. God bless. I'm glad I could be the one that's here. You know, and it's interesting in these situations where it's a relationship, where it's a marriage, where it's a friendship, a co-worker, you know, the woman, the damsel in distress, or even helping a friend. And I've helped friends before, and it's been a good thing, and I've helped friends before, and it was the worst thing I could possibly do. Like, I was setting myself up for failure, I'm telling you. And why was I wanting to do that? Because I thought I knew better for them. And to a point, I did, but they weren't ready for that, and they had to choose it themselves. That's the key. They had to choose it themselves. Because if they chose it themselves, they could live by it. But because I chose it for them, there was a lot of room there. They hadn't gotten from point A to point B. And if I was going to get them to point B in my mental helicopter, they didn't walk the steps to get there. And then therefore, they can't get back. And they can't find it again. It's like driving someone to someone's house and putting blinders on them, basically, and going really fast. And then going, hey, get me back here. And they have no grounding, no attachment, and they did not ask to go to that person's house in the first place. So even though you might see your friend as being screwed up and having a screwed up life, getting them out of that lifestyle isn't going to happen until they get themselves out of the lifestyle. Until they move themselves out of that lifestyle. Once they do that, then that's golden. But until then, they got to make the decision. And if you try to help them out with something like that, they're going to resist you. And I've realized lately that you got to have sometimes just step back and give them room. And when we return, I'm going to give you an example of what I've recently done because it really worked out. And I didn't know how it was going to work out. And I didn't know if it would work out. And I was a little, not scared, but a little, I toiled with it a little bit. But I stepped back and let somebody make a decision and follow through with something and let things all fall into place. And they've fallen into place quite well. Had I had gotten involved with it, I probably would have mucked it up. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about helping other people. When you can and when you can't, and when if you help other people, you can sometimes hurt yourself. We'll talk about all that tonight. And I was talking about the concept of stepping back and letting people live their own life. And I recently had a friend of mine. He's been in and out of rehabs, gone through a lot of issues. I'm sure a lot of you can connect with me when I talk about this. And you love them so much and you care about them. But yet, in the past, every time you tried to help, nothing ever seems to work. And it's like you're hitting your head against the wall going, well, goodness, is this ever going to happen? Are things ever going to change? Are things ever going to get better? Is he ever going to grow up? And recently, and I know that he's going through a tough time, and I understand that, and I get it, and I understand that he has had a lot of growing up to do. However, there's still a lot more to do. And recently, a few months back, he was losing his home. He was going to have to move out because he didn't have the financials to cover it. He hadn't worked in a long time, and he was needing to move out. And he was putting on social media a lot of stuff about being homeless and all this kind of stuff, and that he was going to have to move out. And I felt like it was a little bit of an overkill. But, you know, in certain situations, things can seem bigger than they are. And when you're really stressed out about stuff, things can be really blown out of proportion. And I get it. So he was having to move out of his place, and I asked him if he needed any help, and it was kind of like this spotty communication back and forth. And I realized that if he really needed help, the communication would not be spotty. When somebody really needs your help and you call them, they answer. They answer the phone on the first ring most of the time. Anytime you call, they answer the phone. It doesn't matter what they're doing. If they really need your help, they'll answer the phone. You're not going to have a bunch of spotty communication, I'll tell you that. Because they're waiting on you. It's true. And, you know, unless they're playing a good game with you. But for the most part, if they really need your help, they're going to definitely be waiting by the phone. So there's like this spotty communication. I could never get him on the phone. Randomly would he text me. When he would text me, it would be on some sort of messenger app, which is not the way I like to communicate, but that's fine. But I also started realizing that, you know, I need to give him some space to be himself. I need to let him move on and do his thing. And even though it hurt me to kind of throw it out there and go, well, I'm just going to have to just not communicate very much, I did it. And for all you out there that are in the same boat, it got easier, by the way. It got easier. And you know, it's a two-way street. He could communicate as much as he wanted to, and I would definitely reciprocate. But it was me really doing the communication and him spottily communicating whenever he wanted to. And so one day I finally texted him and I said, hey, I hope things are okay. And this is about, you know, 2 months into this deal. Is there any help that you need? And he goes, oh, well, I've sublet my place and I'm moving somewhere else. And so the homeless thing went from homeless to homeless shelter to giving up their dogs to I am subleasing my place and I'm moving in somewhere else. And for the last few years, I've always thought that if this particular person could get out of where they are, move from where they are, and I'm not saying that location is everything, but I'm just saying if they could move from where they are and move into an area that had more people in it, more outdoor activities around, maybe like a little bit of a park scenario, a lake or some sort of water, or just trees and grass, that this would really be helpful to him. And my husband and I had told him several times, and he suggested, really, by the way, maybe you should look over here, look over there. And he goes, No. I'm going to stay here. This is where I've lived for a long time. I'm not moving out. The next time he found another place in that same area, we said before he got in there, I said he came up with an excuse for why he had to live in that area. I mean, just a straight up blatant excuse story. And I get it. I've done it before. That's why I'm able to address these scenarios, because I've been there before. I know about this stuff. Making excuses that have no realm of truth. His excuse was that was the only place he could get. Well, that's not the only place you can get, because you're just now getting another place somewhere else. But that's fine. It's neither here nor there. And I thought it was interesting. So he's subletting his place, and like he texts me and he said, you know, I got to get out of here, and she's pushing me out and all this stuff. And then eventually I find out that he's actually moving. He's got his own place, and I let him do what he had to do. I didn't really get involved. And the other day I got a text from him, and he said, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I love this place I'm in. It's half the price I was paying at my other place. It's got a park right next door. This is amazing. I get to go out there and walk in the mornings and get my exercise. And this is great. I mean, I'm enjoying my life again. And I knew that if he could just get out of where he was for just a little while, he might see that. But I've known this for 5 years. And every time I suggested something, he would never do it. And I've done that before with a friend where I kept suggesting and suggesting and suggesting. And eventually what you do is you push your own will on him. And you go on and move him. I'll pay your first month's rent. Screw this. I'll pay your first month's rent. And you know what? I don't have a mover's move you in. Okay, well, the problem with that is a lot of times you don't have more money than the first month's rent. You think they're going to take over from there and be like, oh, God, Ashley, you're amazing. You showed me the way. I'm going to get another job just to pay my rent over here. And you have been an amazing friend. Well, you know what? That's not the way it works. So you pay the security deposit. You pay the first month's rent. You pay the movers to move their stuff over there. And guess what happens 3.5-4 weeks into it? Ashley, I don't have my rent. Well, I thought you were going to get the rent. No, man. I know. So you start paying the rent. They're not doing anything. And you know what happens in the end? They resent you. They straight up resent you. And you're over there going, man, I'm doing everything. I'm over here working a second job to pay their rent. And they act like they hate on me. Well, yeah, they do because you took them out of their element. And you took them out without authority. You can't do that. That's just like going in someone's house, grabbing them, putting them in a van, and driving up to another house and sticking them in it. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way because guess what? They have to make the decision to make the change. I mean, how many of us have gone into a drug house? I've done this before, and pull out somebody. And the next day, you get them to a safe house, and the next day, they're back at the drug house. And you just get so mad, and you go, oh, man, those drug dealers, they're up to something no good, and they're filling my friend's head with all these lies. Well, you know what? Your friend went back because that's where they wanted to be at. You didn't want them to be there, but they wanted to be there, so they were going to stay there. And no matter how many times you go and get them out of that drug house, they want to be there, so you're taking them away from where they want to be at, so this is a problem. They go back. And, you know, if you've been on this side of the coin, and I've been there before, man, you feel like you're beating your head against the wall, and guess what? You are. And you're putting yourself in harm's way to save someone that doesn't want saving from you. They don't want saving from you, or for you, or from you. And they resent you for it. Ashley's over here throwing her weight around, trying to tell me what to do. I'm a grown man. I don't need to be told what to do. And this happens with our kids. This happens with family members. Happens with our friends. This can even happen with your spouse. You see a train wreck happening, you know, miles in the distance with your spouse's job or something. And you're over there telling, hey, by the way, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. What if you did this? What if you did that? Just shut up. It's my life. It's my job. I've gotten this far in life, haven't I? And we have a tendency of seeing these things. And sometimes you just have to let people deal with it themselves. Unless they came to you and said, honey, I really need your insight and I need some help. I'm dealing with this at work, and what would you do? That is the open door for helping. Can you help me? I need some help. This is the situation. Let me explain it. What should I do? But when somebody's just talking about things and you go in there to do this mass plan of changing up everything, that's not helping anybody. Unfortunately, you're getting in the way of progress on whatever side that is. And you're aiding and abetting in a way that's changing their will to your will for them. And that's not the way it works. And unfortunately, I figured out too through the line that we actually pay karmatically for these types of things. We pay karmatically for helping other people. And it's rough. Because it can come back on us with other people trying to put their will on us. Or it can come back on us as people hating us or being upset with us or resenting us for what they've done. And then we feel all hurt used. I'm never going to help anybody else. You know, last time I helped somebody, they totally screwed me over. That kind of sort of thing. And so when we return, I'm going to be talking about how it hurts us when we help certain people. Also, the specifics needed in order to know it's time to actually give some words of wisdom or it's time to help. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes. You could be
my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be safe and sound.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about helping people. That you can't help someone that doesn't want your help. And better yet, you can actually get hurt by helping certain people in your life. And I was talking about how it can actually hurt you. And it can hurt you by they didn't ask you for the help, and so you're actually kind of meddling. You're meddling in a process and in a situation that you were not given an option to meddle in. You know, and a big thing is that a lot of times we want them to do something a certain specific way. We want their life to be in a certain specific way, and we want them to do it. We want them to make this happen, make this a reality. I mean, we would have done this by now. God bless. What are you waiting on? And, you know, we want them to live a certain way. We want them to live a certain way. And we see this a lot with friends and family where you got a family member that, let's just say, drinks too much. And you want them to quit drinking. You want them to quit drinking. So you make little comments and you say things and you do things. And in the end, does it help? No, it doesn't help because you know what? They're not going to stop drinking until they want to stop drinking or until they have to stop drinking. Just because you sit there and make little comments about how trash they are, what a fool they made of themselves last week, or how stupid their responses have been, or how lazy, or, you know, whatever it is, or taking the alcohol and pouring it out in the sink in front of them and saying, see this, see this? No alcohol for you anymore. What happens? They get in the car and they drive to the liquor store. If the liquor store is closed, they go to a bar. Okay, so think about it. It's not about our will for them. It's about their will for them. And just like people who deal with being obese, their spouses who would get onto them about their weight and make fat jokes and do this kind of stuff, the person that's overweight didn't get slimmer by hearing a bunch of fat jokes. Okay? They didn't. Normally, in those situations, the person ballooned up even more. And my response to that is I know people stand by and go, well, Ashley, that's great, but what am I supposed to do? I mean, if you're in a situation where your wife has ballooned up 200 pounds and you know that for health reasons, this is not good, and besides the fact that you're not attracted to them and what have you, what do you do? And my answer to that question to you is to state your obvious in a wonderful way, in a nice way, and explain the health conditions and explain the issues. But after that, if they don't listen a few times, you've got to make a decision on what you're going to do. You either live with it and you be quiet and whatever, or you don't live with it. And sometimes that can change things because sometimes when we go along with something for a long period of time, even if we don't like it, even if we're upset with it, that person assumes that we're good with it. And it's okay. And they'll get over it. And I think sometimes you got to make a point, but you have to realize even if you make that point, they might not follow suit. They might not change. Think about it. And a lot of times we want them to change because we know what's better for them. And sure, losing that weight or part of it would be good for their heart. Sure, it'd be good for their legs and knees. Sure, they'll feel better. Sure, they'll have a lesser chance of getting diabetes. Sure, they'll do this. Sure, they'll do this. But if they don't see it, it doesn't matter. And the biggest thing that we don't really think about is why are they eating so much? And food is a drug. And there's a reason why. And until they figure out that reason, they won't be able to stop. Just like with the alcohol, there's a reason why someone overdrinks. And constantly overdrinks and overdrinks. There's a reason. And I have a friend of mine right now who gets so drunk, they black out. And I don't know why. And to me, it's a waste of a life because life is really precious. And if you're going to forget half the stuff you do, to me, it's not really necessarily worth it. But I know that I can make a few comments when I'm asked. But other than that, I don't really have any more room. They're the ones that have to step up to the plate. They're the ones that have to do something. They're the ones that have to make something happen. Not me. Not me. It's not about me. It's about them. And that's the key. It's all about them. It's always been about them, right? But until they figure it out, me getting involved with them and trying to change their mode of operandi is just going to be me putting my will on them. And I have to be able to let that go and say either I am cool with his attitude, his actions, his deal, or I'm not. Either I can stand by and watch or I can't. You know, it can hurt us because we want them to be a certain way. It can hurt us because we can become very codependent on them and with them. And this becomes a problem because you get addicted to helping them. You get addicted to being there. And they keep doing what they're doing and you keep going there more and more and more. And it becomes like this process. And y'all are living out this journey together and you're no longer focusing on your life because you're focusing on their problems. You begin to override their free will. Because we have the freedom to choose, right? We can choose to be happy. We can choose to be unhappy. We can choose to be drug-free. We can choose to be a druggie. All these things. So we have choices. But if you push your free will on them, if you override basically their free will, that becomes a karma situation. And it comes back on us. And it comes back on us in different ways. It can come back on us as other people trying to push their free will. It can also come back on us as them hating us for what we've done to their lives. And them making our lives a living hell for being involved in their lives. And sometimes we have to let people hit rock bottom. And I've tried to stop this before. I've tried to stop people from hitting rock bottom, but it doesn't work. And guess what? It almost ruined my life. And almost took me down. Because I thought that I could do all this stuff and I could make all this happen. And I am just a he woman, she woman that could do everything and no problem. You know what? It's not true. You can't try to save somebody from rock bottom with not getting very close to it yourself. And I'm not saying that you don't want to help them, but that person never asked for my help, never wanted that help, and never even thought they needed any help. Hence why they hit rock bottom eventually. People are sometimes living a delusion. They're in a delusion. Their whole life is a delusion. They're delusional. You know those people that call you and tell you that, you know, they've been talking to Lee Iacocca on the phone that day? Or them and Mark Cuban, you know, hung out at the spa and had a great talk about a new business they're going to do together? And they've never done business in their life? Yeah, okay. And sometimes because a lot of us are not delusional, we don't know if that's true or false. But some of these same people need to hit rock bottom before they realize that they actually do need help. And what they're going through isn't healthy. And, you know, I think there's a difference between thinking someone needs help and someone actually asking for your help. So there's a difference between that. If you actually thinking that someone needs your help, okay, they might not need your help at all. It's funny, and this is an interesting example. This last winter, I went out and bought a really warm blanket and a sleeping bag for a homeless person that I had seen sleeping in a certain area day after day, week after week. And one night I went over there, I walked it over there underneath this bridge. And I walked over there and it was kind of dark, so I felt bad because it's the first time I'd walked up to that person. I didn't want to scare them. And I said, I just have a duffel bag and a blanket for you. I know it's cold. And he stood up and he was very nice and he goes, I really appreciate that, but I don't need them. Thank you. Maybe somebody else might need them. And I looked down where he was at, and he had like a sleeping bag and like three big blankets. And he goes, I'm already covered. Thank you so much. And I said, oh, no problem. You know, I hope you're doing well. And I got back in the car. But I just dreamed in my head that that man had no warm stuff and that I was going to save him from the conditions of the cold. And I staged that whole thing. I waited to the right day to bring it over and everything. Now, you know, we do that a lot in normal life as far as with people we know. We sit there and daydream in our head, well, we got to do this, we got to do that. We need to help them. But have we ever needed to help them? No. And they've never once thought about us helping them. And it's like the only time that we are supposed to help, I believe the only times we're supposed to help is we can help people in small ways. We can pick things up for people. We can help them. We can open the door. We can do those types of things that show politeness and show that we care. We can help them. We can push it forward. When people help us in our career, in our life, and we see someone else that needs that kind of help, we can push it forward, but it's in a non-obtrusive way. And that's pretty cool. And the last but not least, the only time you can help, besides the small things in life, besides, you know, paying it forward, is when someone specifically in their words ask you for your help. And then and only then can you help, because otherwise it's not right. Otherwise you're giving them something that they never asked for. You're giving them something that they've never asked for. And when you give someone something they never asked for, you change their future. And for the most part, they will resent you for it. Check it out. Go to AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com. Check out my website, my latest writings, my latest blogs. I think you'll like them. I think you'll like some of the last shows too. Go on Spreaker. We're rated very high on Spreaker. On society and culture for perspectives, and go check out AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. It's Ashley Burgess Perspectives 24/7, 7/24/7, 7/24/7, all the time, anytime, anywhere. Remember, perspectives gives you more answers, always more answers, always less questions, always authentic, never fear-based. Got a great show for you next, and Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time, and 3 shakes.